Thank you, Bobby, and thank you for inviting me here on this Laity Sunday. And wow, whew, it's tough sitting behind you. Holy, holy, holy. I remember that as one of my favorite songs at the Lutheran Church, Reformation Lutheran Church, back when I was a boy. And when I was a boy, our minister encouraged little 10-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 18-year-olds to come up here and speak. I guess it was the beginning of Laity Sunday for me, but Laity Sunday and the laity is kind of a Wesley thing. Bobby didn't mention it, but Susanna Wesley, John Wesley's mother, encouraged him to appoint lay speakers to go out and speak, because she knew that it was important for those of us who are members of the church to minister to one another. As we heard in the scripture today, Jesus is talking to his disciples at the Last Supper. Judas had just betrayed him, and then he says one important thing to them, and that is what? He says, a new command I give you, and that is, all men will know that you are my disciples if you what? Love one another. And I think that John Wesley, especially Susanna Wesley, knew that was important, knew that the servants were the lay people. We are the servants, and we must present that message that Jesus set forth to his disciples. But have you ever been confronted with a message that changed your perspective of things? I'm sure you have. I recently read about a church that adopted as its theme for Lent 40 days of love. Each week, members of the congregation were encouraged to show their love in different ways and appreciation of one another in different ways. The first week of this 40 days of love, they were encouraged to send notes to people who had made positive contributions in their lives. Well, after the service, one of the gentlemen, he was described as kind of a macho guy, you know, the guy who goes out and hunts and likes to do all those outdoor things. He waited after church to go up to the preacher. And he said, you know, preacher, I love this church, but I really don't like this 40 days of love stuff. It's a little too sentimental for me. And honestly, I don't think anybody's going to send me a note. Well, the week went by. The next Sunday, that very man made a beeline to the preacher after the service, and he said, you know what, preacher? I want to apologize for what I said last week. I realized on Wednesday that I was wrong. Wednesday? What happened on Wednesday, the preacher said. The man told him, well, a letter came to me out of the total blue from a person I never expected to hear from. He said, it touched me so deeply that I carry it around in my pocket right now. And he said, when I read it, sometimes it makes me cry. Holy, 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 makes me cry. It was a transforming moment for that man, because he realized that there was something, someone in his life that he had touched. No telling what he may have gone through, what sort of trials he may have faced, what disappointments he may have experienced. Perhaps he just suffered in silence through his suffering of thinking that no one liked him. The human condition is marked by suffering. Bad things can happen to any one of us. Every one of us suffers, some more than others, some much more than others. We rarely can control the causes of suffering, but what we can control is our response to suffering. How can we as Christians then respond to suffering? How can we respond to the suffering of one another in this congregation? Wow, this last week has been filled with suffering. Every day, we saw how people suffered in California through those wildfires. We're very familiar with the suffering that goes on in a wildfire. Then there was 2 weeks ago, all the suffering in Las Vegas. And we ask, why? And then a month ago, and then 2 months ago, hurricane after hurricane after hurricane after hurricane, suffering, 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 suffering. And we can just feel what those people went through. But when bad things happen, how do we respond? How do you respond when bad things happen to you? Do you blame God? Do you doubt God? Do you get angry? Do you get angry at other people and blame them? Or do you seek God? Or do you get down on your knees to God? In the story of Job in the Old Testament book that bears his name, we are told that Job was a blameless and upright man who nonetheless experienced a number of terrible storms that brought him to ruin. He was a good guy. The greatest tragedy that he experienced was literally a wind that killed all of his children. The first thing that Job did, what? What'd he do? He tore off his clothes and he shaved his head. In chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we heard Job's cry. He said, "If only my anguish could be weighed and my misery be placed on scales, it would surely outweigh the sand of the seas." Can there be a better description of a person suffering the weight of emotional and spiritual pain? But what did Job do? He chose not to stay there in pain. What did he do? He praised God, and he didn't blame God, even though his wife and Job's friends encouraged him to abandon God. They said, "Abandon him. He's betrayed you." But Job, what? Remained faithful. In chapters 37, 21 through 24, here's what Job says. "Now no one can look at the sun, bright as it is in the sky, after the wind has swept them clean out of the north. He comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty," Job said. Job understood that God does not bring suffering to us, but rather that He is with us through suffering. We cannot find God when we are turned into ourselves and away from God. It does not take great faith, just faith enough to allow us to conquer our suffering rather than trying to do it ourselves. That's why there are lay people in the church. That's where lay people come into this picture. That's where disciples come into this picture. When people suffer, what is our responsibility as Christians? When people suffer, what is our responsibility as this church? As Christians, we are called to care for and receive care from each other. We must answer both sides of that call, you see. We must care for and receive care from each other. We are not expected to suffer in silence. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians that we are all part of the body of the Christ, the body of church. We're all part of this church, and that the health of the church depends on us being concerned for each other. We're all part of this body, and we all must be concerned for one another. Once we sign on to live in the kingdom of God, what happens to us? We live differently, don't we? We live differently, and that means giving and receiving care when we are hurting. Caring for one another is the essence of Christian life. Giving and receiving care. In John 13, we find that command. Judas has just betrayed Jesus. It is the Last Supper. And Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another." Who are the disciples today? Look to your left. Go ahead, look to your left. Look to your right. Turn around if you can. Turn around if you are able. We are the disciples. Others will get to know Christ and know that we are of Christ only by the love that we show. And it is when people are suffering that we are called by Christ to show them His love. It is when people are suffering that they need to find love through our caring for them, through our love for them. So, how do we love? We're called to love actively, to reach out to others who are suffering. Christian caregiving is about showing Christ's love to those who are suffering by offering them Christ's love through our presence. We cannot forget that caring for the suffering is not something that someone else would do. It's not something that just the preachers up here will do. That's why we're lay people. It's not just up to the preacher to help those who are suffering. It is something that every Christian must do. You cannot follow Christ and ignore your brother or sister who suffers. You cannot come to church on Sunday, sing these wonderful songs, and then go out and ignore your neighbor who is in pain. Jesus is very personal. He's very personal to us, and He expects us to be personal with one another. But that isn't easy to do, to be personal with one another. Or is it? How hard can it be to be personal with one another? How hard is it to just sit down when someone is suffering and listen? How hard is it to just sit down when someone is suffering and just be there? How hard is it when someone is suffering to take a hand? We can reach out, grasp that hand. You're grasping a hand in fellowship. Or you can reach out with your heart through a phone call. It's real easy today. You can greet one another with the love of Christ and ask the other how they're doing. And then when you ask them how they're doing, what do you have to do? You have to listen. In short, we can care for each other and we can care for those in our community, and that means personal involvement. Showing our love through your heart, that your heart is in tune with another, and that through your concern, Christ is there. Christ cares through you. So what does it mean practically? First, you have to choose to love. Caring is an intentional act. We tend to think of suffering as something significant happening. The death of someone in our family, a serious illness. But there are lesser events, if you want to call them that, in our lives that people suffer. The loss of a job, the stress at work, an injury, strained or a broken relationship. How do you tell if someone is suffering? How can you tell if something has happened in their lives? Well, if you can tell by what? Just the way they look. All it takes is a look from my wife, and I know what's happening. I'm in the doghouse. Some of you know that. I can tell when she's smiling, hey, everything is good. And she can tell when I'm suffering. If you think it would disturb you if that look that that friend had, if you think it would disturb you through that look, then there's a pretty good chance that the other person is suffering in some way by that event. And that person needs your support. Talked about presence. Wow, this is hard today. The final thing that Christian brings is our presence. It's the eye contact, isn't it? It's the eye contact that people can make to us. It can be just to hold a person's hand, just to listen to them. Guys don't like to hold hands, but guys have another way of doing that, just sitting down and maybe patting them on the shoulder. You know what I mean. Just being with them and visiting with them and devoting yourself and your time to that person who's suffering. And the most important thing, listening. And listen to this, guys. You don't have to solve their problems. We guys like to solve everyone's problems when we know something is going wrong in their lives. But too many people avoid caring for people, avoid caring for those who are suffering because we don't know what to say to them. We don't know how to help make it better for them, do we? In caring, all we have to do is be there and open our hearts to the comfort of Christ's care. So, a caring Christian is a compassionate heart. A caring Christian is someone who loves with understanding, but without judgment to the fears and concerns that the person expresses. Praying with the person, when asked, is always praying. We have to pray with them if they ask. But you know what's important as well? We have to pray for him or her, even if they don't ask. And when appropriate, we can share our faith with them and how we have made it through difficult times. How Christ calls us to live in his kingdom can be summed up in three words. Become a caring Christian. Become a caring Christian. That's four. Become a caring Christian. And if you become a caring Christian, this congregation will be transformed. The church, all of its people in this congregation will be transformed. We must intentionally, individually care for one another. And as a congregation, we must listen for those who are suffering and extend to them the love of God. You know, a caring Christian is a powerful Christian. A caring church is a powerful church. You have a powerful church here, a powerful message just through the song. So remember, as we leave here, to watch for people who may be suffering. You can tell who they are through the eye contact. You can tell if something is going on in their lives. And if you notice that, ask them, how are they doing? Sit down and listen to them. And as you listen, let your presence in that moment bring them into the presence of Jesus Christ. Because we are all lay people. We are all disciples of Christ, as Jesus commanded us to be. Amen.